is perfect many times, I'm sure. Colossians chapter 3. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. What place is God in your life? How much of your time do you consider is his? You know, we often speak of the Lord's Day as a day set aside unto the Lord. Is the Lord's Day important? I think we'd have to say yes, because it was even before the law, the Lord's Day was given. It was a creation principle. God created in 6 days, and then the seventh, he rested, and he hallowed it. He made it a special day. In Isaiah, the Lord had to remind his people in Isaiah 58 that it was not a day for their pleasure. The Lord said in Isaiah 58:13, if you turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord. We know that, yes, it is important, but is just our giving the Lord his due on the Lord's day, is that what he asks of our time? Our possessions, how much belongs to him? We speak of the Old Testament tithe and think God quite satisfied with us if we set aside 10% for him. And certainly, I believe that was an important principle that God gave. In fact, we even saw Abraham giving tithe before the law. In Malachi chapter 3, the Lord asked them, they said, will a man rob God? He says, you've robbed me. And they say, well, where have we robbed you? And he said, in tithes and offerings. And then he tells them, you're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Certainly the Lord, I believe that we owe that to the Lord. And yet, what does the Lord really desire of us today? In 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7, it says, as a man purposes in his heart, and not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. It goes beyond just something that we have to do. What about our relationships to others? Are those things important to the Lord? We just saw in this passage that we read through that the husband-wife relationship is important to the Lord. The children, our relationship with an employer and those around us, all of these things he's concerned about. Colossians 3:17, I believe, is a passage that helps us to understand that God wants first place in our lives. What does it mean to put God first place? What does it mean to put God first place in your life? Now, certainly, we recognize that by our works, we don't obtain salvation. That's something that has been paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes as we recognize our sin and we turn from that and give ourselves wholly unto the Lord. We give ourselves to the Lord, and he saves us, he cleanses us, and he gives us that new birth. But he wants us to give him, but he wants first place in your life. When we come to the Lord as our Savior, we come recognizing, Lord, I want to turn from my sin. I want to turn to you, Lord. And the Lord saves us and cleanses us. But he didn't save us just to take us to heaven. He saved us because he wants to do a work in our heart and life. And as we recognize, he wants to conform us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in this verse, it says, "Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." Our lives are to be lived in the name of the Lord Jesus. How is that to be? He says, in word or deed. That's a pretty all-inclusive statement, isn't it? In word or in deed. It's not just limited to spiritual things. It's not just limited to material things. It touches every area of our lives as how we ought to do in the name of the Lord Jesus. The word there is a word that doesn't just mean a word that I speak, but it's all of our communication. It's everything that we communicate. It communicates, yes, that which is our speech, that which we say that we would speak in the name of the Lord, but it also has the idea of things that you would write, things that you would post if you're on social media or what you're doing. It means as well the things you communicate with your life, with the way that you're, like, what you're communicating, that in word you would recognize it is in the name of the Lord Jesus. It says, indeed, as we said, this is an all-inclusive statement. It includes, as one said, any product, whatever, anything accomplished by hand, art, industry, or mind. One commentator wrote that statement. It would even include your sleep, since that is something we do. This is a verse that lets us know that in everything in our life, as a Christian, it ought to be in the name of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all in the name." Now, do all to the glory of God. I'm getting a couple of verses mixed up there. But he says, whether we're eating, we don't think about that we're doing that to the glory of God, or even that this what we consume or whatever we do, that it should be to the glory of God. What's it mean to that the Lord has first place in your life? It says in the name of the Lord. We do it in Jesus' name. That means we're doing it for the Lord. When you look at your life and what you do on a daily basis, you're doing it for the Lord. Yes, we've recognized that it's important for us to gather together here on the Lord's Day. It's important for us to set this day aside unto our Lord. He's created us because we need that. He's created us as well to give us the opportunity for worship and fellowship together and learning God's word, being under God's word. But he wants much more than that. Our daily lives, it isn't like we walk out these doors and then we live another life. You know, you've known probably some that was the way their life was lived. It was one thing in church and it's something else the rest of the week. That's not the way God has created us in him, in himself, when he gives the new birth. He wants us that everything that we do would be, I'm doing it for the Lord. We recognize that Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. We recognize that it's in the strength of the Lord we have to do that. But it comes from that heart. It comes from that heart that we're going to do it. I'm going to live. I'm going to eat and drink. And whatever I do, I'm going to do in word and deed. I'm going to do it. If I'm doing it in the name of Jesus, in the name of Christ, I've got to do it according to his mind, according to his will. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We need to be acknowledging the Lord in everything that we do. We can go along in a week pretty much without acknowledging the Lord, unless we get in trouble, right? Then we're reminded, oh, I need to, Lord, help. Sometimes we get to that place in our life. But it takes work to stop and acknowledge and wait. Is this what the Lord would have me to do? Is this according to his mind? In Proverbs 3 there in 13 to 15, it says, seek the wisdom of the Lord that's more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared with her. When we do it in the name of the Lord, we want to seek. We were looking at this in Sunday school class this morning as we're going through Proverbs. If any of you haven't been here in Sunday school, I encourage you to come as we study the book of Proverbs together and seek the wisdom. But he says the things that the Lord has are more important to us than anything that we would desire if they can't be compared to it. I'm afraid that our relationship sometimes, as far as the will of the Lord, is asking the Lord what he will allow us to do. Lord, can I please do this? It's like we want the Lord to put his blessing on our will, what we want to do, instead of, Lord, what do you have for me to do? Remember back in the Old Testament when Balaam, the Old Testament prophet, wanted to go to Balak, the king of Moab, because he was offering him great riches if he would come and curse Israel. You know, Balaam wanted to do that. He wanted the prize. He wanted the money and the possessions and all that Balak would give him, and so he kept going back and asking the Lord, and you remember, finally the Lord told him to go, and then you remember that Balaam was stopped by his mule that the Lord talked to Balaam through the mule. But what did the Lord say? Do you remember what the Lord said? Let me quote to you from Numbers 22:32. The Lord said, I went out against you because your way is perverse before me. He stopped Balaam he told Balaam to go ahead and go. Then he stopped him, and he wanted him to know, your way is perverse to me. Now he said, you go ahead and go, but you're only going to say what I want to be said. Balaam was under the judgment of God. The Lord was letting him go, but that didn't please the Lord at all. Have you ever had a a child that that just wanted to get permission for what they wanted and really didn't care what you told them why they shouldn't do it. Sometimes I would be grieved because the child wouldn't listen to what I was saying. They only wanted permission. Please let me do it. And I would give a whole list of reasons. Okay, but can I do it? And I finally had to learn to say no, and that's it, you know. But I'm afraid that's the way we are with the Lord many times. Is we want our will, and we keep asking the Lord for what we want instead of, Lord, what do you want? God must be grieved with us when we act that way. We show him that it is really only our will that we want. How we need to be doing what we do to bring glory and honor to the Lord. That verse I quoted, whether we eat or drink, or whatsoever we do, would we do it all to the glory of God? When you go down to the 23rd verse here in Colossians, and after he gave some instructions there in regards to relationships to people, he says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Whatsoever you do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Here we see, I believe, in our doing it heartily to the Lord. What does that mean? There's that here which gives us the something from the heart. It gives us a heart attitude. There's to be an inner desire to please God. Isn't that what the Lord wants? He wants from within your heart. He wants you to have that inner desire to please him. Of course, we think of the example of the Lord Jesus. In John 8:29, he says this, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. We see the Lord, and you'll find that in the attitude of the Lord Jesus, those 33 years that he was here, even as a child, when he was 12 years old, and he said to his parents, "I must be about my Father's business." He said, "I do always those things that please him." He came to live as a man. And he lived a perfect life here without sin for those 33 years that he could take our place and be our substitute. But that whole time, as he lived here as a man, he was showing us that you always do that which is to please God. That was the heart's desire of the Lord Jesus. I think of the admonition of the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. He says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, but that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." You know, many of you have trusted Christ as your Savior. You have given yourself over to Christ to be his servant. And And Paul says here, any man that goes to war doesn't entangle with himself with the affairs of this life because he wants to please him who has called him to be a soldier. He's saying that because that should be our heart's desire. I want to please the Lord. I want to do what he wants me to do. So there's that inner desire to please God. It's from the heart, that heart's inner desire. There's also that heart's inner desire for God's wisdom. In Proverbs 18:1, it says, through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermingleth with God's with all wisdom. A heart's inner desire for God's wisdom. Do you have a heart's inner desire for the wisdom of God? I want to know what the Lord has. I want to be able to respond to others the way the Lord would have me to respond. I need his wisdom. I need his wisdom. A heart's desire to have the Lord first place in your life. You know, you can keep the Lord's day. You can give. You can tithe and give. But you know, the Lord wants your heart. To have the Lord first isn't just doing some of the right things. Having the Lord first is having that heart's desire. It's a heart's desire for the love, that you really love God. You know, the Lord said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. The Lord Jesus said that in summing up the first part of the Ten Commandments. If the Lord is going to be first in your life, there should be a heart's love of God. With all your heart, he said, with all of your soul, with all that is within me, it should be. With all my mind, to center our mind on what God has done, on God's care and love for us. The scripture says we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. And so we look at God's love for us. We look at what he has done for us. We look at his great care. We are a people, as a people of the world, we're a people that are damned for eternity. But God in his love provided the Lord Jesus Christ to give himself for us because he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. With our mind, we need to look at the scriptures and just come to understand how much God really cares and loves us and what he's done for us so that we can love him with all of our mind, with all of our strength. Do you have that inner, from your heart, that desire of love for God? You see, we do it unto the Lord. Because all is for him. If we do something unto the Lord, to have the Lord first place, and that's the things I'm trying to emphasize this morning, is that we recognize what's it really mean that the Lord has first place in your life? What's it really mean? Does it mean that do I just give him the Lord's day? Do I just give him some of my income? He'll be happy with me. The Lord's not happy with that. He wants it all. He wants every bit of you. He wants, and you know, I'm sure you've heard preached a number of times from Romans 12, 1 and 2. But the Lord says there in Romans, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. That means he wants all of you. He wants your heart. He wants your desires. He wants your love. You do things, it's under the Lord. It's not for men. I think of the one passage in Galatians, or Galatians 1:10. Paul says, for do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Sometimes people do things just because they want to please other men. But it's not to the Lord. There are many things that I know that some of you folks do that other people don't know that you do to serve the Lord. But other people don't know it because you have not gone around bragging about what you're doing. But that's what the Lord wants. He wants you to serve him, even if nobody else knows that you're serving him. But he knows, and he knows that from your heart, you're doing this because you want to do it for the Lord. You want to serve the Lord. Sometimes there are those that do things men would see him. In Matthew... In Matthew chapter 6, let me just read that passage to you. In Matthew chapter 6, it talks about those that do things so they can be seen of men. And he lets them know here that, there is some reward for that. But let's, in Matthew 6, beginning in verse 2, he says, when you do your alms or when you're giving, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when you do your alms, let not your left hand know what your right hand doeth, that thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And then he says, and when you pray, don't do it like the hypocrites do, because they love to stand praying in the synagogue in the corners of the streets that they might be seen of men. He says, I say to you, they have their reward. They got seen of men. That's what they wanted. But there's no spiritual reward. They've already got their reward. You know, we're to be looking ahead. We're to be looking ahead to our Lord and our Master. We're to serve him because we are looking to the prize at the end. We're not looking now for the things of men. We're to be doing it to serve Christ. There in verse 24, back in Colossians, it says, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. You know, when the Lord has first place in our lives, we have a life that we live day by day, even through the mundane things of life, we do with a heart's purpose to serve Christ. Paul in Romans 1:1, he said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. And that word servant is the word you could very well translate it. Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ. He didn't, well, we see him as the apostle, a particular position that God gave him. But he saw himself, I'm just the Lord's slave, and I'm happy about it. I'm a slave of the Lord, and I love being a slave to the Lord. I mean, that was a heart's desire of Paul. We think of a slave being that's a bad thing. Oh, when we can be a slave to Jesus Christ, when we can serve him, our Lord and our Master, the one who has called us, the one who has saved us, the one who has made us heirs of himself and all the riches of glory in heaven. Well, what we have in him. It's a blessing to be a slave to the Lord. I think of David in Psalm 84, verse 10. He says, a day in the courts, in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, of my God, than dwell in the tents of wickedness. If I can be a doorkeeper in the house of my Lord, that is so much better than all of the things that the world has in the tents of wickedness. Does the Lord have first place in our lives? You know, we all need to look at our lives. We all need to look, and we all would recognize. I don't think there's anyone here that would say, well, yes, absolutely. Boy, I can say the Lord's got first place in everything. No, this is a challenge to us. We recognize that the Lord's still working on us, but we need to see that he wants more than just a few things that we do. He wants your heart. He wants your life. Some will look at these passages and try to say, surely the Lord is not that demanding. Surely he does not expect that. You know, I've often had a hard time when I read in Matthew, he says in Matthew 10, 37 and 38, he that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Who's first in our life? As I said, the Lord wants our hearts. He wants first place even above your family. Even above mom and dad, even above son and daughter. And you know what? We really can't love our family right until we love the Lord right. When we learn to love the Lord and put him first in everything, then we'll know how to love our family the way we ought. But I'm afraid many times that ones say, well, my family comes first. You know, the Lord knows what your family needs. You put the Lord first, and you'll be able to care for those. You know, he says in the next verse there in Matthew, he said, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Those that are seeking their own for their life, they said, all that you're living for is you're going to lose it. But he that loseth his life for my sake, that is, he that is a slave for me, you'll find your life. You'll find your life. Who's first place in your life? Who is your life lived for? Is your life about you or is your life about God? That's kind of what it's come down to, isn't it? Is your life about you or is it about God? Lose your life for Christ and you'll find true life. You know, the Lord's plans for your life are for you to conform to the image of his dear Son, Jesus Christ. In Romans 8:29, it says, "For whom he did foreknow, to whom he did predestinate, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his dear Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." The Lord saved us. Why? Not just to make me a little bit better Marvin. He saved me that I would be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God wants to do in your life. He wants to truly make of you something, not just something a little bit different than what you are now, but he wants us to conform us to the image of his Son. He has prepared for us. He has prepared for us a home in heaven. He's not only just a home in heaven, but that we would be with him, that we would rule and reign with him. He calls us heirs, joint heirs of Christ. He calls us the sons of God. What an amazing thing. God's great love for us. And yet, why do we want to hold on? Why do we just go about living as if our life is ours? He saved us because he loves us and he wants the very best for us. And the very best is that we give to him that he is first place in our life. Matthew, I would conclude with this morning with a passage that I've quoted many times, but in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, it's a passage that's, I believe, a classic passage on the Lord having first place. He talks about the fowls of the air. He talks about, well, first of all, verse 24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." He's saying there, you've got to put the Lord first. You can't serve unless you put him first. He says, "Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or drink, or what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment?" And then he goes on and talks about the birds and how God cares for the birds. And he talks about the lilies of the field and how beauty, what God has made, and how you're much better than those. But then he comes down to the end and he says, all of those things are the things the Gentiles seek. The world seeks after those things. He said, but your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of these, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek the Lord first. May the Lord have first place in your life. Oh, how short we fall of being and giving to the Lord what we ought and what we owe to him, our own heart, our desires, our love. May God have first place in our lives, shall we pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. And Lord, examine my heart. Help each one here this morning to examine their hearts before they show us, Lord, where you're not first. Show us, Lord, what we're putting before you. And then, Lord, bring a conviction on our hearts. Give us a heart of repentance. And then, Lord, give us a heart of turning and turning it all over to you. And then, Lord, by your strength, Lord, help us. Help us to live with eternity in view. Help us to live with you as the center of our thoughts and our minds, that we may honor you, we may please you, looking, Lord, not to the present, but to the future with our Lord and Savior. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your hymnals, if you will, and I want you to